Hi, Church. This week's Q&R was recorded at our conference with Alisa Childers. This is part two of last week's episode when Alisa sits down with In Doubt podcast host Andrew Marcus and answers our questions on deconstruction and progressive Christianity and how we can walk alongside loved ones who are walking away from the faith.
How can I explain the reliability and accuracy of the Bible in a simple way to someone?
You know, that's the tough question because so many people just, we have like TikTok theology and everybody's used to this quick little soundbite to answer things, but you really can't answer the reliability of the Bible in 20 seconds, right? Now, the best I could do is tell you that if you start with the Gospels, what you find is that you have four independent accounts, so these are called independent attestations of the life of Jesus, and they all have the hallmarks of historical accuracy. And if we have an accurate copy of what Jesus said, then we know what Jesus said about the rest of Scripture, was that he called it the Word of God over and over and over again. There are so many different ways you could approach the reliability of the Bible, because really it involves two different questions. Number one, do we have an accurate copy? And then if we have an accurate copy, does it tell the truth? And so there's really no quick way to answer that, honestly. It would depend on what someone's specific question about the reliability of the Bible would be. Like, are they asking, do we have an accurate copy? Are they asking, is this just myths? Are they asking, did everybody copy one another? So it would just depend on what the question is. But I can tell you from studying it for so many years that there are really good answers to just about any question I've ever heard.
Praise God. This question has happened quite a few times. I consider myself a Christian, but I don't understand the concept of knowing Jesus, as people say. I want a relationship with Jesus, but I don't know how. And other people are kind of just saying, how do I go deeper? What if I'm not intellectually able to go deeper? What does it look like to know Jesus?
I love that question. Yeah. We know Jesus through his word. Mm-hmm. So the only way to get to know who Jesus is, what he is like, is to read the Bible. And Jesus is God. So from Genesis to Revelation, this is God's self-revelation to us. This is how we know who God is. This is how we know who he's like. In fact, one thing I do with my kids when we read the Bible, any passage of Scripture, is what did you learn about God? Because the Bible is not about you and it's not about me, it's about God. And so if you want to know Jesus, if you want to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus, read your Bible more and you'll get to know him more.
That's good. Praise God.
I say that because I think that there is this idea that we're going to have some kind of like mystical, we're just going to sit in a closet and talk to Jesus and he's going to talk to us and all this. And I'm not saying, look, I grew up charismatic. I know that there have been times in my life when I could say strongly I sensed the Lord was leading me in a certain direction or even might have communicated something, not new revelation on par with Scripture, anything like that. But that's not primarily what I'm chasing. I want to know who Jesus is by reading his word and then talking to him in prayer. And it's not like the kind of relationship you're going to have like us right here. It's you are relating with him by getting to know him in his word. And then you praise him for who he is. And then you talk to him in prayer and you can ask for things. The Bible says to make your requests made known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So sometimes I think the reason this is important to me is because I have young people even say, well, they'll start to lose their faith because they're like, all my friends say God's talking to them. I don't feel like God is talking to me. And I go, stop looking for that. God did talk to you. You have the Bible. That is his word to you. Yeah. If I went the rest of my life and that's all I had, that's enough. That's more than enough. Yeah. And so we don't need to be chasing some kind of mystical thing. We have him talking to us and we could spend the rest of our lives studying the Bible and not even scratch the surface.
So good. And what about the person who says, I don't feel like I'm intellectually able to go super deep?
I wonder, I would love to talk more to that person because I wonder if maybe you have something in your mind what that means. Because I don't think you have to be super intellectual to study the Bible. I also don't think every Christian needs to go on the journey I did. I had to go on that journey because I had a deconstructed pastor telling me lies that I had to get to the bottom of. But if you don't experience those doubts, just study the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go read the 4,000 page of scholarship, you know, supporting the reliability of the Bible, unless that's something that you want to do, or that's something that you have a friend who's doubting, or maybe you have a question and you're doubting. But if you're, you know, if you're satisfied that the Bible is the Word of God, praise God, yeah, and just read it, yeah, and study it. And yeah, studying it doesn't have to be a super intellectual venture. You know, studying it is exciting. It's, yeah, enlightening. It's fun, you know?
Yeah, praise God. That's so good. This is a good question, and we talk about this a lot on our program. How do we navigate the liberal New Age views on gender propaganda and the attack on the nuclear family in modern society?
Get married and have babies.
Enough said.
Young people.
I would tell you to do a mic drop, but that mic was really expensive, and we actually don't have a budget for getting
I am so overjoyed, yeah, by all the young people I meet who are saying, I desire, like the women I meet who are desiring to be a wife and a mom, and the young people I meet that are desiring to marry young and have children. I mean, this is literally the creation mandate. That is why we are here. Be fruitful and multiply. And modern feminism has poisoned so many of the minds of women to think that, yeah, family, motherhood, yeah, being a wife is sort of like, oh, that's secondhand. That's what you do after you finish all this other stuff. No, that is the point. You know, and that's not to say it's wrong to work or it's, you know, mm-hmm, something like that. But I'm just saying, like, the point is to be fruitful and multiply. And this is good and holy and beautiful.
Praise God.
And so, yeah, have babies.
I love it.
Get married first.
Get married first, yeah. There's an order of service.
There's an order.
There's an order of service, yeah, folks. What is the definition of a lukewarm Christian?
I don't know exactly. You know, the Bible says, if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. So it's, you're neither hot nor cold. So to me, that's sort of the picture of somebody that hasn't really decided. They're kind of straddling the fence. They're like half in the world, half in Christian culture. So I think that, you know, a Christian that's going through a difficult time or maybe a dry spell isn't necessarily what I would call a lukewarm Christian. We all have phases of our life where there are tougher times than other times. But I think lukewarm has to do with your level of commitment and trust. And so if you're just kind of like, I want to have the best of the world and the best of Christianity, then I would say you're lukewarm.
Yeah. How do I know that God really hears and answers my prayers?
Well, he answers every prayer. He just doesn't always say yes. You know, so you can know that he hears and answers your prayers because the word says that he does. Now, the problem is that he doesn't always give us the answer that we are looking for. And so I think it's really important that when we pray that his will be done. In fact, just go to what Jesus said. Jesus literally said, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then there's petitions. Give us our day, this daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But we have to pray for his will, and we'll know better how to pray his will when we know his word. Mm-hmm. But we can know that he hears us and is answering. It's just, we don't always like the answer that he gives. And so it's trusting even when the answer isn't a yes, I think is more the key.
Yeah, it's a good word. What does the pastor of the church that you left think of your work now, since it's so contrary to what he taught?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
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 We're not really in contact, so.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolute sense. What would you say to someone like Brad Pitt, who says they're all about Christianity and it's just an emotional thing, like going to a rock concert? Because I've, yeah, heard a lot of people talk about that. It's like, oh, I feel the same feelings going here or there. How would you respond when someone says that?
Yeah, well, I think what I would probably go to is that Christianity actually doesn't work that way. So Christianity, if you think about the way most people approach religion in this culture, is they see it as something very pragmatic, something very practical. So you just kind of cobble together some things that work for you. Maybe you do some meditation, some positive affirmations, the Buddhist Eightfold Path, whatever seems to quote unquote work for you. But Christianity doesn't work that way. In fact, it promises that it won't feel like it's working a lot of the time. In fact, Jesus said, if the world will hate you as they hated me. Yeah. Paul said, if you are really following Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. That's actually a promise. So you're not going to wake up and feel like it's working all the time, but that's because it actually stands or falls based on the resurrection of Jesus being a real event in history. So if the resurrection of Jesus actually happened in history, then Christianity is true, which means the claims that Christianity makes about itself are true, which means the claims Jesus made about himself are true, which he said, no one gets to the Father but through me. So if the resurrection is true, it doesn't matter if you feel it or not. And actually, this has brought me a lot of peace in my life after I went through my faith crisis, because I think I was so much more depending on experiences and worship services or things like that. Whereas now it's like, whether I feel it or not, it's true. And I can rest in that. That's actually really good news, because my feelings change on the daily, right? My feelings are constantly changing, but I can stand and put all my hope in the promise that Christianity is true and that I am a child of God, that I am saved. And that's true whether I feel it or not. So I would encourage someone like that to stop thinking of it as something that's an emotional experience. I mean, you might have an emotional experience. That's great. But that's not what saves you. That's not what Christianity really is. Christianity is trusting in the promise of Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, his death and resurrection. And so, I would just encourage that person to view it a little differently, probably.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good word. I'm interested in your answer here, because I've been in the Christian music world for a long time as well, and signed in Nashville and was back and forth all the time. And it was just, I've seen a lot of things. I know you have too. How are local churches to navigate heresy in Christian music culture? It seems like there are some real heresy that is happening with churches and songwriters, etc. How do you navigate that in the Christian music world?
Well, I'm fairly pessimistic about the Christian industry. So when I was in the industry, you had secular companies buying out the Christian labels. So when I signed to Sparrow Records, which got bought by EMI, which got bought by Capitol. So the bottom line are secular companies that want to make money. So the Christian industry is, there's a lot of great people in it, as you know.
Sure.
I mean, wonderful Christian people in it. But there's a lot of non-Christians that are in the Christian industry, and people who are not really caring if the gospel is spread, or they want to meet their bottom line. Now, that's the industry, but then you have these sort of subculture industries that have popped up in the past 15 years or so of massive churches that have started labels and starting to make music that are of a very particular stream that are importing their theology into the songs. And so I think that churches need to be very discerning to know where the songs are coming from that they're singing and what the theology is of the people, because a lot of the words can sound the same, but even the pastor of one of these massive churches said, we sing what we want the people to believe in 5 years. And so a lot of times, I think every Christian in the seats needs to be discerning. There are times when I'm in a worship service and I'll be singing and I'm going, no, I'm not going to sing that line. That line isn't biblical. And I try to not ever disconnect my mind from the words that I'm singing, because some of the emotional connection can be very strong. And you can be very moved by heretical lyrics. Yeah. I mean, you really can, especially if the music is right and people know how to do that. So I think churches need to be very, very discerning and careful to know who wrote the music, where it's coming from, and is it biblical?
What about songs that are pretty biblical? Like, you read through it, everything seems good, but it's coming from a ministry or organization. Would you just not?
Well, I've changed my mind on that. I used to say, if the song is biblical, it's okay to sing it. Just let the song stand on its own. And I try not to be legalistic with this, because I know there are songs that mean things to people. Like, I sang a song at my nephew's funeral that I learned later was from one of those places. But it was a beautiful biblical song. And so, you know, I go back and forth a bit on it. But for the most part, what I really want to encourage churches to do is just not sing songs from those places that don't have good theology.
Yeah. That's a good word. I go back and forth, too, and it's really hard because I'm like, man, that song is just so good. But
yeah.
All right, so last question, because I know it's 9:15. Is Erin around? Are you saying... Just kidding. She would never do that. But here's a good question. What upcoming issues do you see coming for the Western Church that we should be prepared for?
Oh, you guys. Okay.
This could be another hour. Is that okay, Erin?
There's a lot.
This is a biggie.
I would say there are, you know, we've dealt with a lot of progressivism. One of the main threats I see coming into the church is what's called side B theology, which is the idea that it's a group of Christian, you know, people who call themselves Christians who are teaching that same-sex behavior is sinful, but the identity is okay. So you can call yourself a gay Christian, you can identify as gay, trans, bi, as long as you don't do the behavior. And I think that's one of the greatest threats to the church right now, because it sounds good in the beginning, because they say, oh, they believe marriage is between one man and one woman, oh, they're on our side or whatever. But they're really condemning people by teaching them to hold on to their sinful identities. And I think that's one huge danger coming into the church. The other one that I'm kind of concerned about is, you probably haven't even heard of this yet, because I've just recently heard of it, but after I kind of understood what it was, it's very concerning to me. And it's being called the woke right. And so it's maybe an overreaction to progressivism where people, and it's very anti-Semitic, and it's very anti-minorities. Actually, it's kind of racist on the other side. If you want to know more about what that's about, I have a podcast episode about 3 or 4 weeks ago called The Rise of the Woke Right that you can listen to, because I was like, what are they talking about? And then when I heard somebody talking about it, I was like, oh, I've seen that. I just didn't have language for it. I recognize that. So I think that's something, and maybe that's more of an America thing. Maybe you guys have your land acknowledgments and we have the woke right. I don't know, but
we all have our issues. That's true. How would you encourage, if we're going to start to see this, how do you encourage us to navigate it?
Well, just like anything, I think the temptation always is to go to opposite extremes. When something really extreme rises up on one side, our reaction can be like an overreaction on the other side. Our goal as Christians should just be to follow the Bible, to live as biblical Christians, no matter what everybody's doing. And sometimes, and we're very tribalistic as people, so sometimes our tribe can start to do things that you're like, well, that isn't biblical, but I don't want to be out with my tribe. Just always be with what the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. And live that way. And sometimes you're going to be out with your tribe. And like, that's tough for me to navigate too, because sometimes I'm used to like the progressives being mad at me, but sometimes like the conservatives get mad at me. And that's weird for me, because I'm like, no, you're my people. But we just have to be faithful to the Bible no matter what is going on. So that would be my word.
Praise God. Well, Alisa Childress, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
So honored, so grateful for your ministry. And for those who are watching online, thank you. Make sure you like, subscribe, do all those things. But God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. Please continue to send in your questions this summer, and we will be responding to them all in August. We will see you soon. Have a great week.